Hello everyone and welcome to
Beyond the Silence.
Yes, you did hear that correct. It is a completely new podcast name, but it is still the same podcast. So we were formerly known as The Willow Pod, but I have decided to rebrand and rename us so that it's a little more obvious to you new listeners what this podcast might be about. Even though, yes, we are still The Willow Project. So for anyone who doesn't recognise my voice, I'm Sky and I am the project officer at The Willow Project, and I used to work on The Willow Project a couple of years ago, and I left for a couple of years to go and work on events because that's what my background is. But you know what? I really, really missed working on a type of work where I feel like I'm actually making a bit of a difference and something that I feel so passionate about. So I am back. I am back working on The Willow Project. I'm so excited to be back on the podcast as well. I'm really looking forward to getting that going again. But I'm absolutely gutted that I'll be doing this without Emily, who was my wing woman for so many years and absolutely loved working alongside her. And she did such an amazing job of the project and the podcast, and things will not be the same without her around here. But for you guys as listeners, I'm really hoping that this is just going to be the same for you, apart from with a different voice. You're going to be missing Emily's voice, but you've now gained my voice. And I'm really excited for everything that we're going to be talking about, discussing and picking apart. And of course, if there is anything that you feel that you'd really like to hear me discuss, or if you'd like to come along onto the podcast — I say come along, it doesn't have to be in person, a lot of our podcasts we record virtually — then I would absolutely love to have you on here, and it would be great to discuss with a new voice. But anyway, I just really wanted to reintroduce myself back to the podcast. I'm really looking forward to being able to do some of the amazing work that we do at The Willow Project, and to take you guys on board with us and to help raise as much awareness as possible. But without further ado, let's get into today's episode. So as part of this podcast, I want to talk about the things that I feel like people don't discuss that much that I think are quite important. One of the things for me is actually the fact that so many people — well, this one is spoke about a lot more — but so many people are still so unaware of domestic abuse and what it actually is. I look at myself back at when I first started working on The Willow Project, however many years ago was that now? Oh my God, that was over 4 years ago now, when I first started working on the project. And I had no idea about domestic abuse. I was completely unaware. I didn't come into the role specifically for that. I actually joined Rural Action Derbyshire, the charity, and then ended up — part of my work was around The Willow Project, so obviously learned about domestic abuse. But if someone previously said to me domestic abuse, I thought of the physical violence. I sort of thought of someone being punched, strangled, anything like that. And I think this is the same as a lot of people now, is they do not understand or even know about all the other signs. They don't recognise them. They don't recognise coercive control or anything like that. And even I went on a training session the other day about sexual abuse awareness, and some of the things that they talk about on there that I was actually educated on that training, and I thought to myself, God, so many people don't actually know these things about how sexual abuse, for example — I personally only thought of that as in, one, rape, and two, being touched when you don't consent to it. I never thought of all the other things. So I think it's so, so, so important that we carry on raising awareness around domestic abuse and trying to get rid of the stigma. I have so many friends and family who aren't aware of domestic abuse. And when I talk about it, they don't think that it happens where we live. They don't think it happens to many people. They think it only happens to certain areas in society, certain populations. They don't realise that it can happen to anybody and that the statistics are so high. And they seem to change all the time, but it's roughly 1 in 4 women and 1 in 6 or 7 men. And that is really, really high. And that's before even taking into consideration this. In fact, I would love to know what the statistics are for people living rurally. It's actually probably a lot harder to measure those statistics because of the barriers to leaving and the barriers to reporting. So they're probably a lot lower than they probably should be. In fact, that is something that I noticed really around the whole coercion and control, is I actually saw a news article shared by Metro, and I actually saw this shared on Facebook, and it was about a woman who was coerced by her boyfriend into having a joint mortgage that then turned out to ruin her life because it took her 5 years to get him off the mortgage. Absolutely awful story about financial abuse. However, in the comments on Facebook, the victim blaming was absolutely awful. I'm looking at it right now, and the first comment that comes up is, not being funny, but you can't be entered into a joint mortgage without signing paperwork. And it's absolutely shocking. Some of the things that people are reading, they're fully victim blaming, saying they're oblivious to what coercion and control is. And even when there are people trying to educate these people who are commenting about coercion and control, and that it is one of those things that, oh yeah, it's not as if someone's got their hand around someone's throat or a gun to their head saying, you will sign these papers. It's not as simple as that. It's the coercion and the control that they don't physically have, they mentally have over someone. And that is the thing that so many people are unaware of. And that is something that we really, really need to all work together as much as possible to try and help raise awareness around this. One of the other topics that I really wanted to touch on, and I know, I'm sorry, this isn't in very detail. This is sort of a bit of a brain dump, should I say, slash discussion. And I would love to get people on to discuss any of these topics further. Or if anyone has anything that they want to add to this, I would love to hear anything that you want to say. But so for myself, I have been working on domestic abuse awareness for about 2.5 years now. So that was 2 years previously. And then I took about a 2 year gap and I am back again now working in it. When I had the gap, it wasn't working around domestic abuse awareness. So obviously I run the training on awareness sessions, and I also encourage and teach people on how to support people if they have someone confide in them and things like that. But something that I thought would be interesting to discuss, and also to know if anyone else has found this themselves, that it's one thing how we tell people to obviously try and step in or help raise to step in or to try and help people, things like that. But I thought it was a completely separate thing. So if this was, say, there was something that I saw and it wasn't someone I knew, it was a stranger, and I could see that something was wrong, or it was someone from in maybe your community, someone who you didn't know that well, but you knew them and you started noticing that something didn't seem right. I personally, and I keep wanting to say personally because I would love to know if there's anyone else who feels differently to me, or any advice that they can give that I can then also give when I give the awareness training sessions, is that as soon as that is someone who you know, like someone who you know very well, I feel like the tables completely turn in your mind. I know someone myself who is and has been going through a domestic abuse relationship, and I found that I was downplaying it in my head a little bit because I knew both the victim and the perpetrator so well. They're both very good friends. And I have seen this happen in from like family and friends who have also known other people. It's that you downplay it very, very quickly to downplay it, which is obviously not okay. And it feels very hard to be, well, at what point would I intervene? Because it all comes back to you how you were sort of raised to think, well, what happens in their household stays in their household. And we need to try and change that stigma. But yeah, I thought it was really, really hard. And it actually took someone else saying to me when I reached out to someone for advice on it. And they actually said, I think that you're downplaying it because it's someone you know and you don't want to think of them being hurt and you don't want them to be hurt. But that gives even more reason to give them the resources, try and help them. This was someone that they weren't in immediate danger and they weren't and aren't wanted to leave their partner there. And they are currently sort of in like a denial period where they know something's wrong, but they think that they're overthinking about it and everything. But I just wanted to know if there's any advice that anyone has to what to do when you feel like you are in a situation where you know something's not right, but it's very hard to sort of actually do something about it. Because I think there's probably a lot of people, it's very different when you're in sort of like a professional setting and that is what you have to do and that is your job role and things like that. But that's the thing that we want to do. We don't want to raise awareness just to the people in professional settings. We want to raise awareness as far and wide as possible. And I'm talking just people just in the community. And I think that is so important to reach those people. But in doing that, I think the advice that we have to give those people needs to be even deeper, because it's harder. Because as soon as you know these people, it feels a lot harder to, one, give that advice and support, even though obviously, yeah, you want to support them, but you obviously have to be careful with what you say anyway. Anything that a victim decides has to be their decision and things like that. And you obviously then want to be very careful of what you say to that victim, because that's your friend, or that's someone you know in your community, or that's a family member. But the perpetrator is also a friend, a family member, or something like that. And you don't want to make things worse or harder for them. So I found myself that what I did, I'm still helping them currently, is I supported them and I listened to them. The big thing is listening and validating their feelings and emotions, and still listening and listening. And if they're asking for advice, then obviously giving them advice on what your thoughts were, and also validating when they think, oh, but am I overthinking things? Because no, they're not. I have recognised those signs as not being okay. That is not okay. And then also, even if they don't ask for any advice, just being like, I can get you some support, or I have got resources that I can give to you to help you. Would you be interested in these? Instead of just assuming, because some people may not feel comfortable receiving them. And as we always say, one, make sure that this advice is given in person. So don't just text it, don't email it, unless obviously that is the only choice and it's more important that they have this help than not have it. Do this in person. Go and visit them, because they probably need someone to talk to anyway. That's obviously if you can. And number two is make sure they're on their own, or they're in a place where someone else can't be earwigging, hearing things. And also make sure it's not in front of children, because children, even from quite a young age, and I'm not talking like babies, I know that they can't fully talk and everything like that, but children are very known for repeating things, and we do not want this information to be repeated, because you never know who they might repeat it to. It could be the perpetrator, and that could put the victim in, it could put the victim in danger. But yes, so this is only quite a short episode. I just wanted to almost get off my chest some things that I felt were very important. I think maybe I'm coming back into it with new eyes because I've been away and I'm coming back again. But I think it's important that we can help people within the community look out for the signs within other people, and to make them feel empowered enough and confident enough to step in, or to talk to them, or even just listen and give the right resources or support to these people, or even pointing them in the right direction. So thank you very much for listening to today's episode of the Willow Pod. As I said, I'm very excited to be back working on the Willow Project, and so obviously being back on the Willow Podcast. And as I said earlier, if anyone has any questions, anything that they would like to add to the podcast, or even if they would like to come on the podcast, it would be great to get some guests on the podcast, of which it doesn't have to be from a professional setting either. Even if you've just got a little bit of interest and you would like to come on to discuss something, then it would be wonderful to have you on here. So please do reach out to me. I will make sure, and in the description below, to put in links to our website and also my email address as well. And I hope to see you soon. Thank you. Bye.